let your will be done. Reign in me, sovereign Lord, reign in me. Reign in me, sovereign Lord, reign in me.
Sing the greatest thing in all my life. Oh, the greatest thing in all my life is loving you, is loving you. The greatest thing in all my life is loving you. I want to love you more. I want to love you more. The greatest thing, knowing you. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. The greatest thing in all my life, Lord, is knowing you. Yes, Lord. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. The greatest thing in all my life is knowing you. Amen. Let's bow our heads this evening. Heavenly Father, you're the greatest thing in all of our lives, Lord, and we want to know you. We want to serve you. Lord, we want to love you, Lord, with all of our heart and our soul and our strength and our mind. Oh God, tonight, right now, Lord, we can't love you in the past now. We can love you now, Lord. We can serve you now. We can listen to you now. If anyone hear my voice, Lord, may we hear your voice, Lord, and may we listen and obey, and may we let your power come in and through us, Lord, in our position, as Brother Jesse was praying, Lord, knowing our position, knowing who we are, acting upon that, Lord, well doing, Father, from you, Lord, who cannot fail. Please, Lord, endue us, Father, with power from on high, Lord. Give us utterance, Lord. Oh, Lord, give me utterance to speak, Lord. May it not be my words, Father. Open my lips that I may show forth your praise, Lord. Get me out of the way, Lord. And I pray, Father, that you would bless each one this evening and fill them, Lord, full, Lord, to overflow on others, Lord, as soon as we leave this place, staying in heavenly places. We thank you, Father, Lord, that it's Wednesday night, Lord, because it's always wonderful, Lord, to get that wonderful nutrients, Father, and that fresh meat of the Word on a Wednesday night, Lord. We thank you, Father, for that, Lord. And we are excited and eager, Lord, for what you have for us afresh. We commit the service in your hands now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, what if the Lord had never had music, never had worship, never had clapping, never had lifting our hands, but he gave us something in the physical that we could do to get in those heavenly places? And I know that's where we are tonight. Praise God. You know, there's something good going to happen tonight because I can feel it. I don't know. Can you feel any spiritual warfare today happen? Anybody? Any physical warfare? Any tiredness or any fuzziness or anything? Brother Ron, you're laughing because I sleepiness. That's right. Yeah, that's right. We live in a sleepy age. It's amazing. It's something, you know. Just something that has been percolating on one of the back burners is about how that this age is, you know, people will, you know, their hearts will wax cold and how there's dimness and things. And it means, there's one word, and it means languid. And languid is like this, this inability to want to do anything hard. Inability. Yeah, I'm just going to look it up really quick because this word languid is such, it says of a person, manner, or gesture displaying or having a disinclination for physical exertion or effort, slow and relaxed, weak or faint from illness or fatigue. So we see that happens spiritually and naturally in this age, right? And one of the greatest you know, physical revelations, if you can call it that, was that doctor that I've cited before, how he said, we found from our studying of the decline of the human body and measuring the vitality is the fastest way to accelerate aging is to actively pursue comfort. And so there's a whole back burner sermon that's on the way just because it's amazing how in that we can see the vein of suffering is something that we need, and it's adventure, it's an endeavor, it's a journey. It's not a lack of movement. It's not a place of lethargy. It's this, he said, we need to have our bones taxed. We need to have our muscles torn because otherwise we would never stay physically in vitality. We need to have the suffering of exercise, if you can call it that. So praise the Lord. Lord is good. Wonderful. I just kept hearing, I've been hearing for the last few months, Lord keeps telling me to listen to that sermon, Sirs, we would see Jesus. And just going to be really relaxed tonight. Hope you don't mind. Want to follow the leading of the Lord and not get ahead of him. But in there, he talks about something, you know, because I just feel like current events are pressing in so much. Don't you feel like that? And I feel like I'm getting more conversations from people of, we need to think about what we're going to do pretty soon because it's all going to go down. So there's this sense that I'm getting from people, even Christians, even maybe message believers, that it's all going to go down. And there's something that's unsettling when I talk to people. When you talk to people about this, isn't it a little bit unsettling? Because something's going on in the world. And we knew this. How long ago, Brother Greg? How long ago we knew this, and yet it's happening. We're like, the knee jerk reaction in our body is, oh, we gotta do something. We gotta do the right thing. We gotta plan. We can't just, you know, there's been times, and then what do? We adopt structures of wise people, even to think about, you know, maybe people in the Holocaust were thinking, oh, you know, it's going to be all right. I don't know. There's that guy Hitler, but I don't know. He seems kind of revolutionary, but I think we'll be fine. We're just going to hunker down in Amsterdam. We'll be fine. You know, or Berlin. We'll just stay in Berlin. We've got plenty of money, or we've got plenty of networks, but it wasn't enough. But there's others, you know, civil war. People have been talking about, like, there's someone that wrote a book and they said, the next thing in the events, and they wrote this like 40 years ago or whatever, and they said the next thing is civil war, according to history, according to the this cycle that repeats on the earth over and over again, right? So we see, we hear the some say religion, is what I like to say it. And we see these experiences and these narratives play out. And I think it was just so fitting that Brother Jesse was again praying that, Lord, we want to know about our identification. We want to know about what we identify with. We don't identify with the Holocaust survivors as what to do right before everything went down in Germany. That's not our story. Or even in the Civil War in that time, we're not in that narrative right now. And yet we'll want to adopt these subsets of information to know who we are, and to know what our position is, and to know where we're looking. So without further ado, we'll go into the scriptures, and I want you to put on your fresh glasses to look at the word afresh, and to not put any stickers of, I know this already, Stephen. I already read the scripture. So let's all stand. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Praise the Lord for his word. And we're going to start at verse 1 because we're going to get the whole picture tonight, because just thinking about this urgency, I just sometimes I get a pit in my stomach, but because I need to look back at our narrative. Verse 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Praise God that we don't faint. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. So we know that there is a gospel. Our good news is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not of ourselves, but of Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And let's just read verse 7 together. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God may be of God and not of us. Let's just ask the Lord's blessings. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Just quicken it to our hearts this evening in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. So we've heard this verse, especially, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So we have a power. It's an excellency. When we were to see the King of England, we'd say, Your Excellency, Your Majesty. So we see this is something of royalty. This is a royal. He likes that. When we realize we have a royal power. We are royalty. Praise God. When I say these words, I can just feel his presence so strong, because he's saying, that's you, Sister Laura. That's you, Michelle. You are royalty, Debbie. You are royalty, Natalie. Each one of you, Timothy, you're royalty. You are royalty, and God gives you royal power. We're not the old me. We're not the old person. And don't let anybody, even me, ever put you in that. Oh, you're young. Oh, how old are you? How old are you, Timothy? 13. How many times you hear that? Oh, you're young. You're just a baby. I'm going to have a challenge for us. We're raising young men and young women. Let's not speak that over them. Let's even though it's a joke, is that I've heard this all my life. Even now, I've heard this from Christians. I'm turning 41 next month, and they're gonna. Some Christians I know, they're gonna still say, "Oh, you're just a baby. You're just." And no wonder we have so many babies that are 41 years old, right? They're not grown up yet because we've been saying you're just a baby, and then we need to have a meeting about Stephen. He's not growing up. He needs to be a man. And so we're speaking things over. And what if we, but it would be awkward because it's spiritual realm pressing in, right? Satan is saying that. He's saying you're babies when we're not, right? Did you know, if you look up the word grasshopper, remember, they saw themselves as grasshoppers, right? Even I've had people even call me like, hey, take it easy, grasshopper. I don't like that because that's not what God calls us. We're not, that's not our identity. But remember, when faced with the promise, the land of promise, it says, this is, you can look this up. It says, identifies a grasshopper as winged and edible. Probably a non-flying species. Who wants to be consumed? Who wants to be a non-flying species spiritually, right? Oh, you know, like Brother Bram said, we have the equipment right here. God, just spread your wings, right? But again, they were like, no, we can't fly. We'll be consumed. That was their identification. They're like, I identify as a grasshopper. I mean, can you imagine that? And so that for us to know that we are spiritual royalty, we are sons and daughters of God, we have a royal power that is given to us. Praise God. And if we go on to, he talks about in chapter 3 about the ministry of the New Testament. He talks about the glory of the Lord and how that it's in verse 10, for even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. But if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which is remaining is glorious. Seeing that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. So we have this hope that we have the glory of the Lord with us. We have, it's interesting, we were just at this learning education retreat for homeschoolers, and their theme was hope. And it was interesting because we know hope has many meanings, and it means an earnest expectation. It means an eagerly awaiting. It's this excitement for something that's not an if, it's a when. It's coming. He's coming. We have a hope. We're not saying, I hope he's coming, right? I want him to come. I hope I get a brand new Tesla, Christian. That doesn't mean that I'm getting one. It means that I hope one day I'll be able to get one, right? So we see that it's a totally different thing. It's an earnest expectation of he's coming. It's happening. And you know, sometimes you'll wake up without hope because we all of a sudden, it's like we need to put on, again, the Lord Jesus every morning, right? That's why we crucify our flesh. It's not about, oh man, now I got to be a Christian this morning. It's saying, oh no, I woke up without hope this morning. I don't feel like things are going to work out. Oh man, the world. And we go so quick to our phones and say, tell me, I need a dopamine hit to get me through this day. That's not hope. And I'm confessing I do that. There was a young man there, and he said, I've put so many blockers on my phone now. He says, I had such bad ADHD. I had so much depression, all these things, 19 years old. And he's like, I deleted this app and that app because I've learned that how much that they say there's so many dopamine receptors in our brains. And then when we get flooded so many times with dopamine from all this entertainment and all this information on the phones, that we lose dopamine receptors. And so now it's because we don't need them anymore because we're living at level 120, right? And so we don't need that much receptors for all that dopamine. So what happens is now we go back to work or we go to do something else. We go to cut the grass or weed in the garden. And all of a sudden we're like, oh, my life. because what it would give us just that wonderful, the wonder of God. Like if you haven't heard Brother Aaron McGeary's series on having the wonder of God rather than having wanderlust, is having this, imagine now all these dopamine receptors are missing, and now you go to just to take a walk, and all of a sudden you're like, oh man, my day, my life, this is horrible. Or this is, and why? Because now we have less receptors and we're actually in withdrawal from dopamine. So he was explaining this. It's just the simplicity of this warfare that we have now on our phones. And so they say, though, because I was like, will they grow back? Because you hear about some things like people with meth, they can't recover in certain areas. It's gone. So life has lost its luster for them. There's certain things. Of course, we know with the blood, with the power of Jesus, anything is possible. Because when he says, I will restore, he means it. He said, they can grow back. He's like, I've been doing this for now a month and something, and I'm just loving my time with the Lord. I'm loving going out in nature. I'm just loving it. And he said, it's just like I'm enjoying so many more things outside of screens and entertainment. And I was like, that's it. I always heard, and we showed the youth back, if you ever want to borrow it, we have it. It is a movie about screens and getting off screens and Christian community and testimonies and everything. And it's called Captivated, of how we get so captivated by it. And what is it? It's this evil age coming in to give us something, to give us a chemical feeling, rather than this beautiful glory that we have in Christ. It's like, I love how Derek said, it's like, what if after those 40 days in the wilderness, Jesus is like, oh man, I gotta check my Facebook. Hopefully I got some notifications from people. And maybe I can flip through some inspiring videos on YouTube. And then, you want to minister to me? Oh, can you wait a minute? I'm just finishing this wonderful Jordan Peterson video on the 12 rules of life. And so all those things have their place, right? But is that the Lord wants to minister to us in this time, in this day and age, and yet we'll sit there looking for good news. And I was thinking about it, is if I, Christian, I know I have an addiction just to feel better on YouTube, I'm going to eventually start to look like and act like whatever I've been flipping through, right? Because they say they want two things. They want our attention, which they got when we're on our phones, and they want to change our values by 1%. And here's a good example. I was thinking about this, is have you ever had a situation, and we talked about this a little bit, is that you'll hear of something happening to someone of, say, a break-in. Someone's had a break-in in their house. And so, and this person wasn't a Christian, and they came in and they took everything out of their house. And then we say, what if that happens to me? And so what we've done is we've honestly said, if we just are plain about it, what if I didn't have the Lord? What if I didn't have, what if I didn't dwell in the secret place of the Most High? What if I didn't abide under the shadow of the Almighty? What should I do? And it was such a wonderful testimony. I was going over to Joe's house growing up, because I would knock on the door and he's like, Stephen, the door is always unlocked. And it was just a wonderful sense of just like the this isn't a doctrine about unlocking your doors or locking your doors, because having done all stand, but is that what we trust in is, well, if it happened to them, it could happen to us, right? And that's what Satan is giving us, is that false narrative. What are we talking about? What is the subject for tonight? It's Wednesday night. I got to keep you focused. I got to keep me focused. We're talking about a hybrid religion tonight. We're living in a dark day, and we don't want to adopt a hybrid religion. We don't want to mix with the best of them that proclaim faith and Christianity, and that they're successful and they're doing it. And because it says, Psalms 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. It didn't say counsel of the ones that are doing really good things and they're writing good books and this and that, but it says they're actually not godlike. And nor stands in the way of sinners. The way is the life, the journey of sinners. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Not on his phone, on the app does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree. We know that chapter is so good. It's planted by the rivers of water. We're not moving from there, Brother Ron. And so we want to have that non-hybrid religion. So I saw this Christian have this shirt, Matthew, and it showed a rooster, and he was carrying a cross. And I was like, something is wrong here. And so I asked him, I said, hey, nice shirt. What's the story? And he's like, well, it was a cock that crowed when Peter denied Jesus, right? And he doubted, right? And so we know that even though we're doubters, like this, you know, it's kind of like identifying with the rooster as us believers, you know, we know that we still carry our cross. And immediately, do you know what I thought of, Noah? The barnyard is identifying as we are barnyard animals. We're plucking down at the ground, just like Brother Bram said. He said that was the church, is that they would not look up, and they said, I can't fly. And here there's an eagle and he's like, I don't belong here. And they're saying, I'm gonna wear an emblem. This is our emblem of our church. And he said, maybe we're gonna thinking of like doing one with like a hairband thing and kind of rocking it out too. We're thinking of that. We're gonna do that one too. And I was like, oh my, here. It's if you listen to how Brother Bram talks about it, here's these ones that can't fly. They can only peck at things in the ground. They don't want to ever soar up in the heavenlies, and yet they're stuck there in the barnyard. They can't go anywhere. And to think that I was just flabbergasted that here's a hybrid religion is to say we're doubters. Carrying our crosses. We're not doubters. Peter is no longer a doubter. He moved on. That's not our narrative. We don't take an old narrative of Peter, even, is that now we're saved from all that. We're rescued. Oh my. This is from Sarah's Movie We See Jesus. You know, I always enjoy a hybrid hybrid horse. He's got sense. You can teach him things, do things for him, and he'll learn. But you take an old mule, you can't do nothing to him. He's just a big old long-eared donkey. He sits there, and you could talk to him, and he'll stick his ears out, and he's just a hybrid. It puts to mind a lot of these so-called Christians, hybrid donkey religion. You tell them Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, and forever, and they say, I don't believe it. I actually didn't believe when Brother Branham said that. Like I didn't think that still happened. I thought it was people back then until I had people laugh at me, Baptist person laugh at me and be like, God doesn't heal people anymore. And I was like, what? And then I would be witnessing to him, and he's like, God doesn't speak to people out of whirlwinds anymore. That's not it. Or you got to be careful with that book of Acts. Like that's written to us, but not for us. That's not, you got to be really careful. And again, what are they doing? They're doing the thing that they're saying, this is a false narrative for the believer. Isn't it interesting how they're grabbing Peter's narrative when he was disbelieving, but when he was believing, they're like, no, you got to be careful of that one. And this is what Brother Don, you know, the Lord's been speaking through us is it's that live, every word of God that's flowing, circulating. As soon as I got a blood clot somewhere in my body, right, I would be dead. If it went to my brain or went to a certain part, right, I could be dead, right? If we clot the word, that's death. That's death. Maybe we'll lose a limb. We're losing it. And yet they could take that narrative. So for us in this day is to not hybrid it or to cut it off, make sure it's flowing all the way through. So again, for us, we say, well, I believe in miracles. I believe in all this. And yet, so many times I say that, like that quote today was so good that someone said out is take hold of it. Take hold of your promise and don't let go. That's my promise. I remember one time I was leading songs, Nate, and we were singing Standing on the Promises. And I was thinking of all the promises in the Bible because I'm a visual. And I'm like, oh, standing. And then I thought about it, like, how many promises have I actually stood on? And I'm like, well, yes, I've stood on for provision and for healing and this and that. But have I stood on every promise? How many promises am I going to hold on to in the Bible? How many promises are you going to hold on to the Bible? Because every promise in the book is ours. Every chapter, every verse. So if there's something, you know, faith finds its resting place in the Word. So for us to be able to say, man, that's a tough one. I don't know what to do about that one. That's a perfect time. The guy I used to work for, he'd be poring over these plans, wish Nate was here tonight. And they're like, oh, it's going to be a tough, you know, hanging gutters. And he's like, oh, it's going to be a tough inside corner with those eaves and stuff. And he would just say, Lord, give me wisdom. And he would just say it, like whisper it out loud. And it really helped me because one thing they said at this education retreat, he says, pray out loud in front of your kids. Call on the name of the Lord in front of your children. Like just all through the day, model that before them because we're doing it. We could be like, okay, excuse me, kids, I'm going to go pray. And now we're modeling that we're going to go to pray. But a lot of times in the past, I've invited the kids in with me because they'll go, Dad, knock, knock, knock. And I'm like, you want to come pray with me? Yeah. And so we'll have a good time together. It might be only for a couple of minutes, but I just assumed they wouldn't like that. And yet I've been praying, Lord, let my children come unto me. Don't let me forbid them. And yet, it's like, yeah, they don't know any better or any worse. And yet, they do because they have the kingdom of God is to come as one of these, right? To let our children come to God. Say, I don't believe it, see? And so you can't never teach him nothing. How can you teach him? He's gone. Anyhow, my church believes it this way. Mine believes it that way. But God's word says he's the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. Not a hybrid Christian. It was interesting. I was looking up what does it mean to have a false narrative? Because we know our narrative. And this is important because remember the vision, remember the preview of the bride? Sophie or Isabel, do you remember when Brother Bram saw the world twisting, right? Because they twist the word. And then you saw the bride marching because she marches in step with the word. And they're marching. And then what happened is at the last, and she looked so modest and so pretty. And then they were looking back at the church. They're looking back. Why were they looking back? Maybe it was like, oh man, that's not what I want to do. Oh wow, that looks kind of... And all of a sudden now they're looking at a different narrative and they're turning and they're twisting again to look back. And he says, stay in line, stay in line. So of course, what is Satan saying? Get out of line, get out of line. Any way he can, right? And we can tell this because you get away from reading your Bible or listening to a sermon, and then you go read your Bible again. You're going, oh, good. I feel so good. That's right. That's right. That's right. Right? That's right. Because we're so surrounded by, like, you can't say that anymore. And so a false narrative is a commonly held belief that is based on incorrect or incomplete information. Often false narratives refer to incorrect knowledge passed throughout a community or a society. I'm going to read that last part again. Refer to incorrect knowledge passed throughout a community or a society. Incorrect knowledge. Here's another one. A false narrative refers to a story or belief that we internalize, often unintentionally, from things other people say or do or experiences we have. And if you ever heard a guy, have anybody heard of a guy, Dowd? He was Teacher of the Year. Brother Greg's nodding his head, yes. His book is really good. It's such a good, because he taught, I can't remember what, if it was middle school or what, but he taught, and he was such a good teacher, and he loved the Lord, and he was picked on as a kid, and he was bullied, but he had all those experiences, and he loved the Lord, and he has such good mentorship in the book. And one thing he says is, he says, our experiences of things that happen in the world are not ultimate truth. It's just our experiences. So again, we see this. How could they say this? That is a story or belief that we internalize, often unintentionally, from things other people say or do or experiences we have. I was abused as a child, someone could say. Or I had this, my father was this or that, and this is what a father is. And we internalize that, often unintentionally. And those things are deep. And even bringing them up on a Wednesday night halfway through the sermon, that's a heavy thing. If we look back and think, what have I internalized about my past that I say, this is true? And now I've hybridized, not realizing it. There's something in the Bible that's truer. And it's that glory to glory. Like, Lord, take what's, like, I love what David said is, Lord, there's something in there. I'm sure there is. Cleanse me of all my secret faults, all my hidden things, all my limiting beliefs. I remember brother Donnie Reagan was preaching one time on the seed must be quickened. And he says, we have all the seed inside. We got to let God make it alive. And he was saying how that we could sit in a sermon just because of our mind is so good at, oh yeah, this goes here, that we could, it's here comes the truth. And we're like, oh yeah, this goes over here, and not even realize it's just, we've missed it. And that's why we're so thankful for the Holy Spirit to help us to see these things and not pass over them, to not have a false narrative. Because as the song says, this is my story, this is my song. What are we doing all the day long? Praising my Savior all the day long. So we know that that is a narrative we have in Christ. So quickly, we'll just talk a little bit about the human condition in the world today. Just kind of one side versus the other. Over here we got the world. Over here we have the Christ bride condition. So this is the part you want to identify with right here. And so we have dull on this side. Dim. Even the church. Have you ever talked to someone for 2 hours and then finally realized they go to church, but you never heard anything about the Lord? But we know we have Isaiah 60, arise, shine, which means to burst forth the rays of the sun. Because why? How can we burst forth the rays of the sun? Because we have him as a source on the inside. We come from him as a source. So we can burst the rays of the sun. Can you get an amen on that one, right? And yet there's this dimness. And so sometimes we can have that dimness as we need to reconnect with the source again, of the excellent power. And we have that, there's a dimness, and then there's that sleep. And yet we're sober, we're alert. We know what's going on. We know that pasture that he has us in that season. It's interesting. This, it just, was just a blessing to hear Brother Don on Sunday say, Lord's just been working on me. Oh, he's saying, I need to testify. And how the Lord dealt with me that very morning on the same exact thing. How it was, Stephen, you need to shine today. And it's just, I just love that the Lord deals with us. We're walking in the light. We're alert. We're aware. We're hearing his voice. Praise God. They're caught unawares. We're aware. They're looking down at their phones. Current events, speculation. Our future lies in such and such. What's going to happen in our future? And we go, what's going to happen in our future? Right? And we identify because they're saying our future, right? And we go, oh, I need to know what's going on. But we're looking up, as the Weiss says, when these things begin to happen, look up and be elated. Oh, God. Wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, which is pandemics, oh, praise God, here comes the pandemic. Yes. How can it mean that? How can it mean that? You could say, that's not the story. That's not the story. We're not, oh, good. But it says, look up for your redemption draweth nigh. That's our timeline. It's not, look up, for we know when it lies ahead. We got to be ready. There's something crazy going on. We got to get more cameras. We got to get more guns. Are those things wrong? No. If we put our trust, our hope, our earnest expectation of, Oh, good, I have enough cameras around my house. Right here, this puppy, I don't have my phone on me. This will tell me I'm good. I can be anywhere in the world. It'll tell me if I'm getting robbed. Are those things wrong? No, but if we're like, oh, good, I'm elated because I'm protected, right? But we know in Christ, this is a challenge to all of us. How many have heard a story of someone going into someone's home, of an old lady's home, to rob her house? Have you heard? There's a story. This happened. An old lady, she lived by herself. This is a true story. A Christian lady. And this Christian lady lived by herself. And this man came in to rob her. And he had a gun. And by the end, she was feeding him some food. He had set down his gun. And she was talking to him about the Lord. So why would me as a man say, you know, that's not my narrative. I don't have faith for that. I'm going to have plenty of guns when that guy comes to the door, blam, or at least, right? It would be a shame for me to be saying that old lady has more moxie and more faith than me when she's more physically unable to defend herself. But she has something greater than that. Again, that excellent, that royal power, because she's royalty. She knows where she stands. Gladys Aylward, there's a wall between me and you. You can't cross that line. How powerful is our God anyways, right? For us to remember, this is our story. We're writing the book of Acts again, of God's acts in our life. This is our narrative. And I'm just sick and tired of the world pushing this narrative on us of you got to be ready for this, or you got to be ready for that, or you got to be ready. And how the antithesis to that is the Word of God in so many ways. And people could say, well, you got to be careful, Stephen. You got to be careful, because it's not just whistling Dixie and like, oh, I don't know about that. It's not what that is. And I think that's what Satan wants us to do, is to be in the middle, right, is not have our anchor and that excellent power in Christ. Not be over here armoring ourselves with tons of guns, and just being in the middle like, Lord, I hope it's okay, right? And yet we know that we have a power. Again, faith has hair on its chest. When it speaks, everybody shuts up. It's a bulldog. It's burly. And it comes from, again, this unconsciousness of, I already knew it was going to happen. It's the Lord. He just does it. It's this, I trust in the Lord. And it's the pre-programming. I really want to focus on that too, is that imagine you had 1,000 switches inside of you, Christian. I'm preaching more to you just because you're right there. And each one of them was, will I trust in God in this situation upcoming? What about my test? What about when am I going to get married? What about bills? What about car? All this. And what if Satan could turn? And each one of those said, God has a promise. And the other one is, I got to figure it out by myself. And what if he could turn all those switches to, I got to figure it out by myself and make it and flip it. So now when you have that happen, or what if I get in an accident? What would I do? I probably maybe if I do the fetal position plus swerve the wheel to the left. And if it's snowing, I can make sure that I'll have a kit and this and that and this and this and this. And now the switches are all, and it's pre-programmed. And then it happens and it's, oh, curses. Right? Because it's pre-programmed, right? Rather than blessings, praise God. Like Brother Branham said, when in the moment it will be given us, I wish I was in front of the maniac right now, he said. That's what he said. I wish I was there right now. So wonderful. In front of the bull. Ah, the love that just came over me in that moment. You'd say, what? This is not, no. See, the problem is you left the gun in the truck. That's the problem. You're getting forgetful, Brother Branham. You know, if you'd have been listening to the Lord and not getting ahead, you would have had your gun. Right? That's the narrative we know and hear is but he was saying, same with the bees, is there was a testimony in every one of those situations, and it dropped down right as it happened. And he didn't even know. He just knew, I'm trusting the Lord. I'm trusting the Lord. His word is true. His word is true. And all of a sudden, he spoke. The Lord spoke right there. Because you challenged the Holy Ghost, you'll fall at my feet. He wasn't thinking about that 18 weeks before. If somebody ever doesn't like me and comes to my meetings, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say, you challenged the Holy Ghost, you're going to fall at my feet. Right? It was given to him in that moment. That unconscious faith of this is the Lord. It's already pre-programmed. Praise God. This is our narrative, you saints of God, bride of Christ. We know who we are. We know that we're the bride of Christ. How many is the bride of Christ? By faith. You can believe it? That's it. Again, we can't say the quote enough because we're getting our tickets ready. When the bride of Christ knows who she is, she'll be an invincible army. Invincible army. Invincible army. It didn't say, when the bride of Christ knows who she is, she'll have all the guns, all the gold, all the tribulation starter kits, all. No, she'll be an invincible army. And she won't, and remember, she's set still. Remember, she's in a place of stillness, of tranquility, of equanimity, Brother Greg. That's the word for you. The state of unperturbed tranquility of, now, let's not get excited, like Brother Branham would say. Let's just see what the Lord wants to do. It's one of my favorite phrases that Brother Branham would say. We're sitting at the table in the kitchen. Let's just see what the Lord wants to do. Let's go to prayer. Half an hour later, a word comes from the Lord. It's getting used to this protocol. These are our narratives of, let's see what the Lord wants to do. The false narrative, let's see if the Lord wants to do something. 2 minutes later, well, see you later. Have a good night. I hope he does something, right? God has an answer for us. He said in his word, and that power lies within us. We have that antidote. If any man hear my voice, we look to the promise. He's more than able. The bride of Christ loves the comfort of what God promised. Think about that. We have the comforter. The word is our comfort. Of when we're like, oh, what in the world is going to go on in the world? I better find out what I need to do right here. This is, oh, wow. That's what I need to do. That's great. Right? And it seems so backward. Doesn't it seem old-fashioned for us to be, oh man, I better go to the book of Revelation, see where I'm at right now. because I can tell that things are going on right now. Oh man, Mark 17 talks about this too. Oh my goodness. Oh, leap for joy. Twice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, which means leap twice. So we see this, it's a different narrative. Sometimes we have to get our body to command our body to believe the word. Sometimes we need to jump for joy. We have joy. Sometimes we need to jump. This isn't me saying, well, let's all jump right now, but it says rejoice in the Lord always. And that means you can jump for joy. It's permission granted. That's our narrative, is we can actually have the joy of the Lord. And we're going to be jumping anyways if we do a leg workout. So you might as well just praise the Lord instead. Loves the comfort of what God promised. Worships, the world worships misery. Oh, poor you. Oh, you got sick. Poor you. Oh, that's too bad. Oh. They're like, oh, you're sick. Oh, how long you been sick for? Oh, that's terrible. They love that. Versus to say, we have God's promise, and we're saying, praise God, by his grace, good things are happening. God, things are happening. That we worship Christ. And it's important, again, like Brother Don said, I will declare his mighty acts in the midst of the congregation, in the midst of the people. I will make his acts known. They say they're giants. And we know, can you imagine being David? I know time's getting on. Musicians, you can come. Being David and being like, I'm going to use his sword to cut his own head off, even though he's a giant. And while I'm running at him, I'm not even going to be loading yet. That's what it says. He wasn't even loading yet. As he ran towards him, he put the stone in his sling. So he's like running. He's like, I can't run towards him while doing this right away. I'm going to start running really fast while he's loading his spear into his hand. And then I'm gonna throw it, and because God's with me, it's this unconscious faith of I'm gonna stand tall because I know that God is with me. If we could sing the original life, the original seed, or just start playing that, it's overcoming giants are our bread and butter. The giants are unarmed and unprotected. And the miracle God that promised us this land will with us in battle, he'll be with us. Remember Joshua, are you for us or against us? Because I do this every day. You got a sword. I walked around the corner. There's a person with a sword drawn. Okay, all right. Well, are you for us or against us? Because I do this every day, right? This is us. This is our narrative. Have you ever watched something you shouldn't have watched and you kind of got a little jumpy and scared? And then you saw a shadow, or you saw your own shadow. It's unintentional programming to get us. When we see our place in the scripture and we say, putting my weapon. And then I'm going to use God by God. I'll use their weapon against them. Just like people are even doing on the phones, having the Bible app, having message app, all these things that we can be using for God. And I'm playing sermons at work, or I'm playing Bible audio at work. And so we can see that there's that as well. Praise the Lord. So we see again, we don't have to follow saints of God, that story, that narrative, that hybrid religion, that doubting. Make sure we know what our story is, what our experience matches the word of God. Amen. Amen. Does anybody have the number for that? 376. Praise God. Let's just stand. God's attributes were manifested to his bride in this last age. We have caught the revelation by the last prophet's message, and we know who we are and what we're raised up for. Praise the Lord.
for the original life, the original life, the original seed, the original word is what I believe. The Son of Man is revealed, the seventh seal is unveiled, the original life. The original seed. We are the Word. We are the Word made flesh today. This is what the Scriptures say. And our names are seen within, redeemed and perfect without sin. Yes, we are anointed and inspired by our God. The original life, the original life, the original seed, the original word is what I believe. The Son of Man is redeemed, the seventh seal is unveiled, the original life. The original, our eyes of understanding, our eyes of understanding, He has opened up at last, and sweet victory is ours, who were chained down in the past. True jubilee has sounded, and we have responded to our God. The original life, the original life, the original seed, the original word is what I believe. The Son of Man is revealed, the seventh seal is unveiled, the original life, the original seed.
Brother Ron, would you lead us, close us in a word of prayer? Okay. Christian. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You're dismissed. The original life. We are called unto adoption. We are called unto adoption, full authority and power. Sleeping saints will wake and join us for temptation in this hour. Gentiles' days will soon be.